Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Tell me the truth. I don't need shelter. So the question is, where do you turn for your shelter? I know where I turn. We got fake news. We got fake studies. We got fake results. Just this morning, I opened up my Old Testament, the Holy Scriptures, which I've had for 30 years now, more actually, but it has hundreds of post-its in it. One day I'll send a picture of it out to Facebook. I just don't want to prostitute my Bible for a little 10 seconds of glory. But I was looking through the first book of Moses, Genesis, where I had put post-its. And I'm recording them for the God book, because I'm going to do what I'm going to do with this book, amongst other things I'm doing in the God book. And I was thinking, all right, this is what I'm doing. This is my payback. Then I get an article from the Washington Times full of fake news, fake study, fake results, saying that Hannity and Limbaugh motivated Christian voting bloc. And then they list people that I never heard of as motivating the Christians to have voted for Trump. Tony Perkins, Charles Krauthammer, who attacked Trump, is listed as one of the people who got Trump elected by these fools. Other media personalities who elected Trump include Megyn Kelly, 5%, Fox News pundit Eric Bolling, 4%, Glenn Beck, 3%, and Mike Savage, 3%. Now, how is that even possible? How could I be at the bottom of the list when I'm at the top of the list? I asked myself. You know, we keep hearing about fake news, fake studies, fake results, and now it's coming from the so-called spiritual community. If the spiritual community is filled with fakers and liars, where do we turn? Who did this study? Who would put people on this list for having elected Trump who attacked Trump? It makes no sense. So I looked up the organization, American Culture and Faith Institute staff. They're probably all nice people, but I don't know who they are. I have no idea why they would put out a false study like this. I have no idea why they would survey 3,000 adults to ascertain which pundit held the most sway among the constituency that they belonged to during the election. And they would list people who attacked Donald Trump as those who elected Donald Trump. This is insanity. And this is what I mean by give me shelter. You have to turn to rock and roll, astrology, God himself, vitamins, seagulls, poodles, exercise, garlic, in order to survive in this world of lies. You don't know which way to turn for the truth, do you? So here I am on the radio, and every day I have to get up and do the best job I can to tell you what I see is going on, in my own words, keep you listening, keep you entertained, keep you entertained, educated, whatever you want to call it. And in the midst of it, you're reading fake news every day on fake websites based on fake studies and fake results. And so you say, well, how can you survive in a sea of deceit? Well, I've survived in a sea of deceit for 20-some-odd years now, so why should I stop today? I have faith in God. And when I walk around during the day, all I can do is when I get lost, all I do is I say to God, okay, thank you for giving me what I have. I'll do the best I can. That's all I can do. So I'm not here to complain and say that I'm better than the other guys. But the fact is that everybody knows that it was not Limbaugh. It was not Tony Perkins. It was not Megyn Kelly. It was not Eric Bolling who elected Donald Trump. It was Michael Savage. I had Donald Trump on this show regularly since 2011. I'd have to play the montage again. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. But I'm going to continue with the show as I wanted to do it anyway, and here are the topics that I wanted to do today. We're going to continue talking about your Thanksgiving horror stories, because that was a very popular topic yesterday, in that it's something that everybody can relate to. We talked about that. What happened at your Thanksgiving dinner with family? I mean, let's be honest, everybody had something happen with a crazy sister-in-law or a crazy brother who it was like a zoo. They call themselves liberals. And I asked you yesterday, did family feathers fly over Thanksgiving? because the horoscope yesterday said you will get the chance to heal rifts and end feuds over the next few days. If family issues are causing problems now, well, now is the time to sit everyone down and discuss what has gone wrong and what needs to be done to make it right again. So I asked you, did you have a family dispute over Thanksgiving? And a lot of you called, and they were interesting calls. And a lot of it had to do with politics, the fighting. Then we talked about the Muslim from Somalia who drove on the sidewalk and hit students with his car and then tried to stab him to death, shot by a brave officer and killed, sent to hell where he belongs. And we looked into this one in great detail. He was brought in by Obama without any vetting whatsoever. There were no murders, thank God, but the attacks by this Muslim are owned by Obama. Obama is strictly the owner of these attacks because he didn't do his job. The head of the Department of Homeland Security should be arrested for malfeasance for this case. For the case of Faisal Muhammad, who stabbed four people at the University of California, Merced, last November. The head of Homeland Security should have been arrested and thrown in jail for having permitted Wasil Faruqi for trying to have beheaded a man in Roanoke, Virginia, not too long ago. The head of Homeland Security failed us again by not doing his job and in September letting Dahir Adan, 22, who slashed nine shoppers at the Crossroad Mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota, who was shot dead not by a DHS agent, but by a cop. One after the other, this administration has released these killers upon us. And so we're asking more questions today about the Muslim Somali dropped by the news because it was an inconvenient incident that made liberals very uncomfortable when they have to face the facts that they are responsible for these attacks that are going on a regular basis through their stupidity and through their liberalism, which is a mental disorder. I've encountered it my entire life. I can go way back and tell you how insane most liberals really are. If you did a survey, you'd find most of them are on medication. Either legal or illegal. You look in the media and you look at the bigger the liberal, the bigger the medication list for most of them. I can name them, but I wouldn't do it because I'd get sued. But I happen to know for a fact that some of the biggest names in the media are outright drug addicts. And they push their liberalism as a way of overcompensating for their addictions. But do I have to spell it out for you? This is what the election was about, wasn't it? Didn't we vote against them? Didn't we go to the polls to try and get rid of these people? Didn't we go to the polls to say enough is enough about dumping these Muslims on us who are killing and maiming their way across America? I know that these words sound harsh because you've been brainwashed into thinking that anyone who dares stand up to the obvious about what is truly going on is the actual villain. But I am not the villain. I'm actually the savior. I'm the savior. Don't paint me as a villain. The villains are in the White House, the DHS, the FBI, the CIA. All of the services that were put there to protect us are failing us on a regular basis. They're the villains, not me. Trump was elected to stop this. We don't know if he will. We don't know if he even wants to. I'm going to say it again. I said what I said yesterday. I see a very dangerous movement within the Trump administration in these early days, moving him to the center left by the RNC. I saw it 2 weeks ago when he appointed Rinso Priebus. I'm sure Rinso is a nice man. I'm sure he's got a nice wife and nice children. I'm sure he's loved by all. But Rinso is a front man for the Boehner-McConnell wing of the Republican Party, in my distinct opinion. I didn't say my humble opinion because I don't have a humble opinion. I'm a talk show host. We don't have humble opinions. We have distinct opinions. And in my distinct opinion, Rince Priebus, who is now running the entire Trump administration, is running it right where Boehner and McConnell want it to go. That's what I see, and I don't have to go down the list. Need I say a few words? I'll say a few of them. Let's say Romney together. Where'd Romney suddenly come from? He came from the RNC. That was the deal. Deal was, way back when he was fighting with the RNC, don't you remember in August? The RNC threatened to pull back their support for Donald Trump. They worked out a deal, in my estimation. And the Trump campaign wisely said, we'll do business with you. We'll do a deal. We're businessmen. Remember? I mean, didn't he say he's a deal maker? So he did a deal with them. And how hard is it to figure out what the deal was? The deal was, we get to select a Secretary of State, or this, or that. and you get to do that and that. They worked it out. So now we see all of a sudden Romney is there. Nobody wants Romney except them. Again, we're not denigrating Romney as a man. We are denigrating Romney as a politician. There's two different things here. Separate the man from the politician as you would the man from the art. There are many artists out there whose art I love, whose politics I despise. I still go to their movies. Not anymore. I will never go to a Robert De Niro movie again. If I ever see Robert De Niro even in passing and clicking through, I go past it now. Never rewatch Raging Bull. Never watch The Godfather again. Anything he's in is off. I'm boycotting him. I'll give you the list a little later on of all the other people who came out of the closet during this campaign. They're going to pay for it at the box office if you help me. You're going to help me the way you're helping yourself by booing Colin Paperneck, by not turning on the NFL, by not turning on the team that Paperneck is on. You are sending a message, the only message that they understand, which is dollars and cents. But let me get back to the real picture here. The real picture is the story of the fake news, the fake studies, and the fake results that are coming out. So the Washington Times runs an article. Hannity and Limbaugh motivated Christian voting bloc, says an unknown institute run by unknown people. And they put them at the top of the list for having elected Trump. And then they go down the list, and I'm at the bottom. And there's people I never heard of who are above me. I never heard of them. I don't even know why they're on the list. Megyn Kelly, they list as one of the most important people to have motivated Christians. I mean, if that doesn't tell you that they're full of you-know-what, what will tell you that? They tell you that Charles Krankenhelmer, who put down Trump steadily, resonated with the Christians and got them to vote? How does that make sense to you? It doesn't. It's all a lie. Fake news. That's the number one story. I'm not asking you to call about it. But then I go into the Ohio attack and the fake news again, where they sweep under the rug the fact that A, he was a Muslim, B, he was an immigrant, and the real hero is a white man who shot him dead within a minute of arriving on the scene. This young guy was only on the campus police force for a year, and he had the wherewithal to shoot this animal dead on the spot before he can kill another student or cut him to death with a knife. That man should be in the White House. Not the garbage that Obama had in the White House last week, the garbage he brought in to the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The garbage he brought in there. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. The dregs of Hollywood in the sports industry. Again, polluting the White House by making the medal have no meaning whatsoever. He should have brought in the cops who have stood up to these bums for the last 8 years. But anyway, all right. He does what he wants to do. He's the Fidel Castro of the United States of America. Let me tell you something. If Obama had another 8 years, this would be Cuba. The country would be Cuba. You'd be fighting over a salami in the butcher store. You'd be playing dominoes in this country. You wouldn't even have a television set in your house unless it ran sports. So hopefully that'll all be over soon. I don't have any questions for you. I mean, there's only one. Everyone knows the whole story about the Thanksgiving deal. But here are some of the other questions I raised for today. I have so many things. Unholy Alliance. Christian charities profit from $1 billion federal program to resettle refugees, 40% of whom are Muslim. What a story this was from Breitbart from November 29, 2015, which we got out again today because I am so angry at Catholic charities. I am so angry at the deceptive Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. I am so disgusted with World Relief Corporation. I am so sickened by Church World Service. I am nauseated by Domestic and Foreign Missionary Service of the Episcopal Church of the USA. I am nauseated by all of these fake front groups which put a religious designation on the front of them when they're nothing but businesses, number one. That's the first thing you got to understand. What do you mean Catholic charities? What is that, a church? It's not a church. They're using the word Catholic to sell a business, and their product is to bring in as many immigrants as they can without vetting them, without caring what they do to communities, without paying the price for murders, mayhem, disease that they're bringing in. Don't tell me that they're called a religious group because they put the name Catholic in front of it. It's like saying a guy with a cross is a good person, or a guy who wears a yarmulke is a holy man. But someone wears a yarmulke, that makes him a good Jew? It means nothing. Nothing. So I'll go back to what I said at the beginning before I take my break. And I'll say it again. The world is awash with fake news, fake studies, fake results. And I'm asking you to listen to Gimme Shelter when I come back on the Savage Nation, because we all need shelter.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Listen, I got more heartbreak for you than you're going to be able to handle. Are you ready for who Trump just picked as transportation secretary? What did I tell you? What did I just say to you? What did I just say to you on this program? Did I tell you that he did a deal with the RNC and they're running the administration? Did I tell you that? How do I prove it? Listen carefully, because you heard it first in the Savage Nation. Did your heart stop yet? He picked the wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch the Gobbler McConnell of Kentucky to be Transportation Secretary. She is a recycled tire, a tire that blew out under George Bush. He has now selected her to run the Transportation Department again. Do you understand what has happened after we killed ourselves to elect Trump? Do you understand what has just happened? Why do you think I went out on a limb for you 2 weeks ago and published that article that WND wrote, telling you that Rince Priebus was an example of what's coming, and it indicated to me that they were, in fact, they had hijacked the Trump campaign. Let me be very clear. Savage says, here, make it a headline. Savage says RNC hijacks Trump campaign. Write it down. Who's going to write the article? You know anyone who'll write the article? Nobody. They make believe I don't exist? I elected Trump. I'm going to be the harshest reality deal maker on this planet.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Rinso is going to drain the swamp. Rinso is the swamp. McConnell is the swamp. Are you kidding me? What has to happen for you to understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking to my audience as though you're in the room with me. Let me explain what just happened. Donald Trump just picked Mitch McConnell's wife to be transportation secretary. Now, there's nothing wrong with her as a human being, just because she's been on the board of directors for Bloomberg Philanthropies, run by former New York City Mayor Bloomberg. Doesn't mean anything is wrong with it. I mean, what's wrong with the fact that he picked someone who was on the Bloomberg Philanthropies organization, run by former New York City midget Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the soda man, a man who was a frustrated seltzer man, Mayor Bloomberg. He never saw a cup of soda he didn't hate. But Bloomberg is a liberal, a Republican liberal, and she worked for him. Now she's transportation secretary, having last worked for George W. Bush. You say, well, what's wrong with that? You're telling me it doesn't look like nepotism to you that she is the wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch the Gobbler McConnell of Kentucky? So what this goes to is the bigger picture I've been trying to tell you. Look, if you love Republicans and you love the RNC, you're not upset over any of this. I understand that. See, if you are an apparatchik of the Republican Party, if you're one of these goody-two-shoes women, if you're one of these women who like to be invited to these, it's fine, you're probably all nice people. But you are exactly the reason we tried to vote in an outsider. We didn't like business as usual. We didn't like the deal making. We didn't like the lobbyists running the country. And so many of the people who voted for Trump were not going to vote at all. But because of shows like mine, the one you're listening to, I asked Eddie to go out and vote. You know who Eddie is, don't you? Eddie is the average American white male who has given up on the political process knowing that they all stink. Knowing that they're all liars, that whether they put an R or a D next to their name, they're nothing but common con men. And they were fed up with the political process, and they didn't want to take a chance again. I encouraged the Eddies of America to go out and give it one last chance. I said, we've got to vote for Trump. We've got to stop her at all costs. Now, having said that, we are hoping that it will still be better than if Hillary had won. It will be in some regards. I hope that we have a stronger police presence, a stronger military, lower taxes. a stronger border. I hope so. Fewer regulations. But I don't know where this is going to end up, because once I saw the fix was in with Renzo Priebus, implanted deeply inside the Trump headquarters, in the brain of the Trump machine, I said, I can tell you which way this is going. They're going to make most of the picks. Next day I wake up, who do they recommend? Mittens Romney. And everyone says, what, are you kidding me? That's what we voted against. Why is he picking Romney? He didn't pick Romney. Trump didn't pick Romney. The RNC picked Romney. Why is he picking Mitch McConnell's wife? Nothing wrong with her as a person, but it looks like nepotism. She's a recycled Bushy. Why? Why? Because the RNC wanted it. Because McConnell the coal man wanted it. Why? Ask yourself one question for which the answer is not because the RNC is making the decisions. That's all. So maybe you're frustrated with me now more than with the choices. You probably have a degree of there's probably a degree of truth in that, because when you are the advance guard of anything, people tend to resent you. And I have been accused of many things in my career at the beginning of my let's say, idea thrusts. People don't like what they're hearing, and then they say, well, you know, like, you were right, blah blah blah, and then listen to you, turn out to be right. You were just ahead of everyone, and I didn't know it at the time. So I'll be right again. You'll see. Give it a month or two. You'll see I was 100% right. The RNC is now shaping the future of America. The very same gangster criminals who we voted against, the drunks, the chiselers, the bag men, they're running the country again. They've gotten control of the Trump campaign. I don't know how he let this happen, but I pretty much can guess it because I'm also a fiction writer. Yes, I'll say it again. I'll say it again and again and again. In addition to fiction I've written that you've never read, which you may never read, experimental fiction, poetic fiction, may never see the light of day, I have three commercial novels. One is Abuse of Power, Time for War, Countdown to Mecca. They were all New York Times bestsellers in the last few years. And so, therefore, as a fiction writer, I have a vivid imagination. So, as a fiction writer, if I would be asked by anyone to sit down and write out how this happened, that the Republicans are now running America again, even though we just voted them out, the answer is simple. Trump was in trouble last July or August, or actually it was in March, I believe. They said they were not going to support him. They wouldn't give him money. They wouldn't back him. They'd throw him out. The next thing we knew, they were all friends. And Renzo Priebus was seen going in and out of Trump Tower. They were best of friends. So I said, all right, I know what's coming. The way I write the story in a fictional version is the power structure, which is the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. They are the power structure. They're the establishment. They made a deal with this maverick, with this outsider, with this businessman. And he said, I'll continue to hammer them with the lightning bolts that they want to hear. I'll have idiots in the radio and television business continue to get them to vote. And then once we win, we'll do what we want. You can run the show. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. It doesn't look pretty good, too good to me. Oh, I know, there goes the inaugural ball. I guess I won't dust off the old tuxedo. Oh, gosh, there goes the state dinner with Putin. Yeah, right. Listen, I've been an outsider so long that it's starting to feel like the inside to me. Let me put it to you that way. I've been outside for so long that it is starting to look like the inside to me. Because when your only guy, when your only loans, there's a star up in the heavens that you use for guidance, right? If you're a navigator, if you're a sailor or a hiker, you got to go by a certain star or stars as your guide. And when you're out there all alone in the wilderness, and then you know your stars, you're really never frightened because you know which way you're going. So I'm not frightened by what I'm saying. Many of you are frightened by what I'm saying because you're afraid that you were duped and lied to. You're starting to fear that you were lied to. I can't tell you what's coming tomorrow. I can only tell you what just came today. And what just came today is not very nice, not very good, not very encouraging. It does not look good for the agenda that we voted for. It's exactly a repeat of what happened in 2012. I wrote a book called Stop the Coming Civil War just before the election. I begged you to hold your noses. I remember to this day, I get the tapes. You know, it was Trickle Up Poverty. I don't remember. I've written a lot of books. I write about one a year because I don't stop working. I'm working on two books right now. The God book and another book, a secret book, which I can't tell you about. I had to work out a deal with the publisher to get the God book published. I had to do another book. But the other book is so good, your heart will stop when it comes out in late February, early March. It has something to do with what I'm talking about today. Your heart will stop when you see it. You'll say, oh, my God, how did he do this? So anyway, the point is I'm always working because otherwise there's no life. In other words, unless you're doing something, what are you doing? I mean, you're a vegetable. Like my mother would say when I wouldn't want to get up and go to school as a kid in New York, she'd say, I said, Mom, I'm tired. I want to sleep. She says, you'll have plenty of time to sleep when you're dead. I mean, that was a cynical statement to a kid, but she was right. When you think about it, that enabled me to get up, brush the teeth, get on the Q44A, you know, in the slush, go to a boring, horrendously overheated classroom and hear about geometry. It's because I realize at least you're alive. Anyway, the point is, I can see what's coming. The handwriting is on the wall. And I feel very bad for you out there. Because what happened back when I told you to vote in 2012, I got up on this radio, the very same microphone that I'm using right now, and I said to you, look, we know the Republicans are corrupt no-goodniks. We know that they're not much different than the Democrats. We understand that it's a one-party system playing two-card Monty. I said that to you. But I said, it's the only chance we have. We can't let the Dems win. I said, please go out and vote. Take one more chance. And you did in 2012. And guess what happened? We had a lot of new people come in, right? Do you remember them? Do you know that Trump has not picked one of them for anything? Did you know that not one of the Tea Party conservatives have been picked for any position by Donald Trump? Do you know what happened soon after that revolution at the ballot box? The very same corrupt Mitch McConnell and the other one with the pink tie, Boehner the Schicker, the Four Roses Schicker. Boehner, the Four Roses Schicker, and McConnell gave us a twofer. They gave us a two-card Johnny here, and they went back to business as usual. They laughed at us. They said, good, I'm glad you voted for these guys, these little ones out there, because we're going to do the same thing we've been doing. Now go back to your little lives, you deplorables. And they continue to do business with their friends in the Democrat Party. Same thing's happening. So you say, well, how do you change a country? How do you move a mountain? How do you move a mountain? We just moved a mountain. We found that the mountain moved us. 40 years ago, I was in trouble emotionally, or spiritually, probably more so than emotionally. I went and saw a religious man. 40 years ago, he's dying of cancer right now. I don't talk to him anymore. I wish him well if he's listening. I doubt that he is. He's a very religious man. And I was emotionally or psychologically or whatever, spiritually in a vacuum. I saw this religious man, and we used to spend a lot of time together just drinking coffee and chatting. I needed to talk to him, and he would talk to me about religion and God. And he said to me, I'll never forget it as long as I live. He was a little man with a very high-pitched voice, but he was such a powerful man inside. And he said to me, Michael, if you get God inside of you, if you learn how to tap into the God that God who was within you, and you learn that, he said, you can move a mountain. You'll learn how to move mountains. I didn't know what he meant at that time. What did I know? How do you know what that means? It seems remote and absurd. What does that metaphor really mean? What that means? That means that this is way before radio now. What was the mountain that he was talking about? The mountain was the mountain of public opinion, which I have moved through the magic of radio and the magic of the written, printed word. So I did move mountains. But then you wake up and you find out that the people are moving the mountain back, that you just moved aside. They're putting the mountain and the rubble over you. They're burying you again. It's like Pompeii. America's like Pompeii again. We move nothing. The very same swamp is there. The corruption is there. I don't see any change. I don't see any change. And I'm giving it a chance. Yes, hopefully it'll work out. Hopefully he'll lower taxes and he'll build a, maybe not a wall, but maybe a symbolic 2-foot picket fence. You know. And he'll have a big flag ceremony down on the border. They'll show us a two feet of fencing made of pickets to show that they built the wall. And they'll lower taxes from 39 to 38%. They'll lower corporate taxes by 1%. And maybe they'll cut the Muslim refugee immigration invasion from 550% more than Obama to, I don't know, maybe 200%, call it a victory. I mean, this is the Republican Party now. So I think what you got to do is say to yourself, why are the Republicans doing these things rather than why is Trump doing it? See, what I'm trying to say to you is all of the stuff that's happening are the rhinos. They're back in power. Now, never forget, you could say rhino all you want, but a rhino is a very powerful animal. The rhino has an extremely thick skin that's a great armor. The rhino has a very powerful horn, and you don't want to get in the way of that horn. So be very careful of the rhinos, because they're running the show again. Yeah. So he picks Elaine Chao to become transportation secretary. Just announced. And she's not a bad woman. She was labor secretary under Bush. She is also the wife of Senate Majority Leader, the Rhino, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Again, there's nothing wrong with her being the wife, but doesn't it sound like nepotism to you? And again, I don't want to keep hearing about that she's the first Asian American, this and that. I don't care. I'm sick and tired of it. I thought we were going to stop hearing about this stuff. I'm sick and tired of it. Here we go again with the PC appointments. You mean that alone is enough to make her important because she's the first Asian American woman who did this or that? I mean, how about if they picked an Asian American woman we hadn't heard of? Not Mitch McConnell's wife, someone qualified. That would be wonderful. All right, so here we are. Give me shelter. Sun will rise in the west someday too, right? So Mitch McConnell's wife is now being given the job of transportation secretary. So I wonder why that is. How do you feel about the fact that she's associated with a powerful elected Republican? Does that bother you at all? What if Hillary had won and one of her chief lieutenant's mates, let's say whoever, husband, wife, whatever, was made transportation secretary? Would you find that offensive? Would you call it nepotism? And let me ask you this. Has Ms. Chao ever been in charge of any project construction management on a federal aid highway project? Does Ms. Chao have expertise in the engineering about the nation's airports? Does Ms. Chao have expertise about the state of need of our nation's railroads? What is Ms. Chao's opinion of high-speed passenger or freight rail systems? I think these are important questions. Of course, you look at this and you understand what this is about. Again, you don't have to be a genius to figure out what she's going to do and why she's there. Okay? What is she there for? What, would you have to be a genius? What's she there for? Let me ask you something. Trump is a builder, right? Didn't he say he wants to rebuild our airports and our highways and our bridges? And we all said yes. Fine. How much is that going to cost? A few trillion. Where's that money going to come from? We're not sure yet. Maybe a little privatization, a little. No doubt out of your back, too, off your back, the taxpayer. And tell me where the money goes through. Well, it goes through the transportation department. I mean, just watch the movies. What, do you have to be a genius to figure out what this is about? The money goes through the hands there, and it'll get skimmed off a little bit. You know, a few hundred million here and a few hundred million there adds up in consulting fees. This is how government works. Money is the mother's milk of politics. That's all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
And where do we begin in hour number two? Let's begin with Deuteronomy from the whole Old Testament. Now, don't turn the dial. Just don't turn the dial so quickly. It's not going to hurt you. If you could watch Martin Scorsese's Pornography and Violence, who the Pope, by the way, is entertaining at a private audience to show you who the Pope is, the bouncer. The bouncer with a yarmulke there in Rome. Imagine a guy who produces nothing but pornography and violence. Martin Scorsese is in the going to the Vatican. I mean, you tell me the world is not upside down. I'd like to know what the world would look like if it wasn't upside down. Now, I'm not going to read the Bible. I guess it'll be lost. People will laugh at it, so I won't do it. Read it yourself. What's the point? I'm going to talk about false idols. his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship. Is that what you want me to read? And then when God came along, the idols would pass away, and man shall go into the caves of the rocks and into the holes of the earth. They haven't gone into the caves of the rocks. In fact, people are gilding their palaces now, both Democrats and Republicans. See, the only difference is, at the end of the day, as I've known for a long time, is that when the Democrats in power, one gang of thieves makes all the money, and when Republicans are in power, the other gang of thieves makes all the money. So under the gang of thieves called the Democrats, they were printing money under the guise of the green gang. The green mafia were making trillions of dollars on the false premise of man-caused global warming, so-called anthropogenic warming, that we were destroying the earth. So based on that big lie, they then created all of these things to buy solar panels from China and to build solar factories out in the solar-generating facilities in the desert of Nevada, you know, that helped build some of the gilded palaces of Pacific Heights. How do you keep those palaces of Pacific Heights heated around the year? Well, you have solar panels in Nevada, and the money comes flowing back to San Francisco so you can put on your gilded parties as in ancient Rome as a Democrat, and then make believe that you're for the poor and the homeless and the gay and the lesbian and this and that, and you keep them away from your house with flashlights. In other words, you're making billions of dollars with the scam, and to keep the maniacs off your front lawn at night, you throw them a few $100,000 a year. So then they go attack someone who's a truth teller like me. Very smart. Look, if you understand how the game works, it's not too hard to buy off the losers. You buy them for a few hundred grand and you make a few hundred billion. That's all. It's a good investment. You get contracts steered to your husband. The husband steers them to the wife. What could be better? In America, the streets are paved with gold because the nation is full of yolds. So we wake up today and here we go again. We thought that the swamp was going to be drained. I think that we heard that the sea levels are going to rise because of global warming, that the Antarctic and the Arctic ice would be melting. We also heard that the swamp would be drained. Trump won. But I think the swamp level is rising faster than the sea level. One thing is for sure, the sea level has not risen anywhere around the world that I've seen. Nothing. I mean, no one in the islands yet died. They're not swimming on rafts because they're drowning in the New Hebrides yet, as we were told. No one in the Caribbean swimming off the island to the mainland of America to get away from the rising sea levels. It's a complete myth. But one thing is for sure, the swamp didn't go lower yet. It's gotten higher. Higher, higher, higher. Hi, hi, higher, higher. Higher, how you doing? How you doing? Higher. Trump meets with Goldman Sachs president. Sorry, come on. Another one? Yep. It's on top of Drudge. Ex-Bush official Chow transportation pick. She is the wife of Mitch McConnell, the gobbler, Mr. Cole. Mr. Cole gets the wife back in there, plenty of money. Oh, my God, the trillions for construction on the airport's roads. God, Don Corleone is just smiling from heaven. I thought one day you'd be Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone. We'll get there, Pop. We'll get there, Pop. We'll get there one day, Pop. Well, they're there. That's all. Now number two comes in. Trump meets with Goldman Sachs president, developing. There's really nothing wrong with it. You think about it. Why shouldn't Goldman Sachs run Treasury? They've been running the Treasury Department for 50 years. They know what they're doing. Goldman Sachs Group Inc. President Gary Cohn will meet with Donald Trump in New York Tuesday as the president-elect's team debate a possible role. No, they're selecting him. He selected them. What do you mean they're selecting him now? It's like a charade, the whole thing. Vice President-elect Mike Schmentz. Mike Schmentz will join them at Trump Tower in Manhattan. Transition spokesmouth Sean Spicer told reporters he did not give any indication of the gender of the question of whether Cohn is in line for administration. No, they're having him up to break a piece of bread with him. They're having a piece of pumpernickel together. He's bringing a few pickles and a corned beef sandwich. They're not talking about a job. Trump and his aides are still discussing what role Cohn might play. Why does he spell it Cohn instead of C-O? You know, it's like a weird spelling of an ethnic name. When you see Cohn, C-O-H-N, Roy Cohn did that, and he wasn't a very nice fella. The actual correct spelling is C-O-H-E-N, Cohen, but that's like too Jewish, so they changed it to Cohn, like Conehead. But he's probably brilliant. I mean, these guys know numbers. If you're working for Goldman Sachs, you are smart. Who are you going to hire? Some schmuck banker from North Dakota who runs a local bank to be Treasury Secretary? You're going to hire a guy who knows what he's doing with money. Cohen joined Goldman Sachs 25 years ago, and he rose through the ranks on the powerful fixed income currency and commodities unit alongside Chief Executive Officer Lloyd Blankfein. How do you think he did? He made money for the company. He's not the first one. Let's go back to Glitt. Who was Clinton's Treasury Secretary? Do you remember him? The fly fisherman? Raise your hand if you know who he... Goldman Sachs has been running the economy for years now. That's all. So you're thinking a balanced budget? Are you joking? They don't balance a budget. There's this, you know, here's the thing. Is I come from a different world than you do. I'm an older guy when it comes to economy. I told you my parents were immigrants. So my father wouldn't buy anything on time. He thought it was cheating, meaning on time, meaning on credit. If he see a guy with a new car, and he was driving a two-year-old car, he said, I paid cash for my car. I own it. That guy's a faker, he would say. I didn't understand it. But to me, the guy who owned the car, driving the car, owned the car. I didn't know how he paid for it. The kid always wanted the father to have a newer car, but I didn't argue with him. So he drove a two-year-old Caddy or a DeSoto, whatever it was. But he was proud because he paid for it cash and he wasn't a faker. Well, okay, that all changed with extensive credit. So there's not a corporation that I know of that's public that doesn't live on borrowed money. In fact, their worst nightmare is to turn a profit. If a company turns a profit, they get frightened because they don't know what to do with it. It means they're mismanaging their money. It's the same thing with the government when you think about it. Why do you think governments run on deficit spending? Because they wouldn't know what to do with the profit. It means they didn't manage their money right. The way they think is if there's any money left over at the end of the year, they didn't spend it properly. So they have to keep spending and borrowing. This is the system that we live in. That's all. What do you want me to do? So who are you going to hire? A guy who buys on credit or a guy who pays cash? They're not going to hire some immigrant who runs his life the way my father did to run the economy. They're going to hire a guy from Goldman Sachs. So we wish Mr. Cohen the best of luck. Roy, remember Roy Cohn? He had a name like that. What a monster he was. I hope they're not relatives. Oh, my God. I'm not saying everyone who changed the name from Cohen to Cohn is a bad person. Cohen, Schmohen. All right, whatever. No one's talking about ISIS, the Muslim who drove the car into kids. Nothing like it didn't happen. They didn't see it on MSNBC. They hear no evil, see no evil. Nothing. The Muslim from Somali ran into the car, then ran out with a knife screaming, Allah, Allah. And nothing. It had nothing to do with Islam, nothing to do with the religion, nothing to do with immigration. It had nothing to do with Catholic charities. It had nothing to do with Lutheran immigration services. It had nothing to do with the resettlement of people who hate us. It had nothing to do with the fact that DHS failed us again. Nothing whatsoever. And that's why I'm playing Give Me Shelter on the Savage Nation. Let's take some calls on the program right now. What should I ask you? What you feel about this? What's the difference? You know, there's a story on the Drudge Report. World's oldest person does not eat fruit or vegetables. She's an Italian woman who lives in a village somewhere. She ate 3 eggs a day for most of her life. I couldn't believe that. So the whole egg thing, I've known that for years. I went back on eggs 20 years ago. Thriving on raw eggs, world's oldest person marks 117th birthday in Italy. All of you have been eating egg whites all these years and suffering, gagging on them, eating reconstituted dreck. It's unbelievable to me. Emma Morano, thought to be the world's oldest person, last to be born in the 80s, celebrated 117th birthday on Tuesday, still swearing by her diet of 2 raw eggs a day. She was born in November 9th, in 1899, 4 years before the Wright brothers first took to the air. She's lived through 2 world wars and over 90 Italian governments. So she said, I worked in a factory until I was 65. You hear this? She worked. And then she said her fiancé died in World War One, and that she had then been forced to marry a man she did not love. She said, either you agree to marry me. He said, either you agree to marry me or I will kill you. Near the Italian way in those days, recalling his proposal. She says, I was 26. What could I do? I got married. It was not a happy marriage. They had a boy in 1937. And then she kicked the husband out a year later. She said, I separated from him in 1938. She's living alone. She outlived all her 8 brothers and sisters, including one who died at 102. She has thrived despite the unbalanced, unorthodox diet. She used to eat 3 eggs a day, 2 raw and 1 fried. Now she reduced it to 2 a day because her doctor told her what to eat. Yeah? The doctor told her what to eat. The doctor she'll outlive by another 30 years. The doctor. She doesn't like fruit or vegetables. One thing for sure is she eats gluten. I guarantee she eats a piece of Italian bread. That I can guarantee you. And she's not into kale. Number 2, I guarantee she doesn't eat kale. She doesn't do Pilates, I can guarantee you that. And she hasn't had sex probably in 70 years. Remember that story I told you with my mother, God rest her soul, when I asked about her longevity? In my case, no sex. Okay, funny. Whatever. Now, don't draw any generalization conclusions from this, because I've covered a thing like this when I wrote a book in 1983 called The Skeptical Nutritionist, because I opened the book by saying that we all know nutritional rogues who violate all of the rules of, you know, health or diet, and they outlive everyone we know. We call those people nutritional rogues. That's how I identified that type of person. So don't start eating now 3 eggs a day. Come on. It's like you see the one person who smokes and drinks like you have a grandfather. You can't do it. You'll be dead at 40. I love the guys that say, well, I have a grandfather. He lived to like a ripe old age. He drinks and smokes. That's not you. That was him. He's a nutritional rogue. The roulette wheel came up right for him on the genetics. That's the way it is. So don't violate it. Do the right thing anyway. Because you can kill yourself in a few days with the wrong diet. I can prove it to you. Want me to prove it to you? No matter who you are, I'll prove it to you right now that food has an influence on your health. No matter how skeptical you are and think food has no effect on your health, because you're a moron if you think that. You ready for the answer? Look at the common salt shaker and pepper shaker on your table. If you put the entire salt shaker or pepper shaker into a meal, you'd be dead. I'm giving you an example in an extreme. Salt can affect your blood pressure and give you a stroke. Pepper can give you an attack. So in other words, the most common food items can affect our health. So now think about what the big food items can do to us if you stuff yourself with the wrong foods. So don't go along now with the 3 eggs a day, that's all. Now to get back to less serious stuff, which is McConnell's wife being appointed by Trump and the Goldman Sachs gentleman, Mr. Cohn, marching up to the Trump Tower. It's like the ivory tower in reverse, the Trump Tower. I mean, I don't know where this is going to end up. This is fun. This is really wonderful. I got some good callers. If you want to join the caller brigade, the phone number is 855-407-282, 855-407-282, 855-407-282, 855-407-282, 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
The DeSoto, the radio, the Williamsburg Bridge, the whole thing. Listening to the radio. What radio? Turn that radio off. No music. You're going to work now.
Yeah. What makes you strong when you have a kind of an upbringing like that? No room for entertainment, no room for relaxation, nothing. Work. I mean, ancestrally, we built the pyramid, so it was built into me genetically. I mean, what's the difference? I don't complain about it. I don't say Egypt owes my family reparations, do I? You ever hear me complaining? You ever hear you say that they should pay me reparations because some distant ancestor schlepped mortar up a pyramid? Man, a little piece of that pyramid wouldn't be bad right now. Quite an investment. Plenty of money made for the Egyptians. Yeah. So what do you want to talk about? Okay, calls. That's all. The time is moving too quickly now. I developed the idea, then the ad. I love the ads, but now I can't. Okay, here we go. Trump is this. WKZO Radio, Michigan. Rick, line 5. Go ahead, please.
It's more complicated than this. Now, you got to admit, you and Trump, you come from that third standard deviation from the average Eddie in America. Trump has gone to the RNC and he said, okay, I want 100 days. I want this done. So they're going to say to him, well, in order to do that, we got to appropriate this kind of money. And to get those votes, we need these people in place. Okay, so Trump says, that's your first move. You're playing white on the chessboard. I get the next move. And his big move, and I'll concede to you, if you look at his Justice Department picks, if they're RNC insiders, then the fix is in. But I think he's going to let them have enough rope to hang themselves, and then he's going to follow the money, like you say, with his Justice Department and whoever he picks for the head of the FBI, and he's going to watch where that money goes, and that'll give him the opportunity to...
You're actually making a good point. Yes, you're seeing it strategically as the chess game that it is, and they're negotiating, and the RNC is putting their people in. But let me ask you something. Does it look good to put the wife of Mitch McConnell in to the Transportation Secretariat? Do you think that makes sense? Doesn't that look like nepotism to you?
Yes, it does, but I think he's prioritized what he needs to get done, and this might...
I understand, but what does it make we the people feel to see that Mitch McConnell, who is not a very straight shooter, he did this to us in 2012, it means he's in charge again. It means this corrupt coal baron is doing it to us again.
Michael, I just think...
And I'm very, very worried that if we let them get away with this now, we're going to get nothing at the end of the day.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What he's done, killing people, stealing land, turning everyone into a serf over there, glorified by the idiots of the New York Times. But, you look at the New York Times, how they're praising the killer Castro along with fools. I don't know any other words for it. It's astounding to me. We really didn't cover this adequately yesterday. He was one of the worst people in history, Fidel Castro. And he had useful idiots allowing his crimes. Now, of course, Lenin called liberal apologists for communism useful idiots. You all know that from having read Government Zero and other books I've written. But who was the biggest useful idiot other than Geraldo Rivera? But that's a given. You say Geraldo Rivera, that's like a laugh line. You know, Al Capone's vault. Castro was wonderful because of medical care. But the biggest idiot of all was Justin Trudeau, the ballet dancer who was made Prime Minister of Canada. What a shame that is. Canada's a beautiful country. How they put this fool in is beyond me. How did we get Obama for 8 years? So Trudeau glorified Castro in expressing his deep sorrow upon learning that Cuba's longest-serving president had died. Not one word about all of the murder victims. It's unbelievable that you don't even know history, most of you. But all right, I'm not mad at you. He was a terrible man. He was eulogized in neutral terms by the communist president that we have, and by Trudeau, another communist, socialist, another monster. You know that he did turn Cuba into a colony of the Soviet Union. He almost caused a nuclear war. He sponsored terrorism around the world. He allied himself with many of the worst dictators on Earth. Castro was responsible for thousands and thousands of executions and disappearances in Cuba. Did you know that? Did you know he had concentration camps and prisons, which he built at an unprecedented rate? Did you know that he incarcerated a higher percentage of his own people than most other dictators, including Stalin? I'm telling you what's going on in Cuba to this day. What did he do, by the way, to gays when he became powerful? Did you know that? How come the gay community doesn't know anything about Castro? And by the way, what about his racism? Did you know that there were no leadership positions amongst Cubans who were of African descent? Did you know that? Did you know that he condoned and encouraged torture and killings? Did you know he forced 20% of his people into exile? Did you know he claimed all property on Cuba for himself and his gang? Did you know he reduced food production and impoverished the vast majority of his people? Did you know he outlawed private enterprise the way Bernie Sanders would like to do in this country? You know, he wiped out labor unions? Did you know he eliminated Cuba's large middle class the way it's going on here in America under Obama? Do you know he turned Cubans into slaves of the state? Did you know he persecuted gay people and tried to eliminate religion? Did you know he eliminated almost all freedom of expression and communication? This is the man glorified by Obama and Trudeau and others because they're fools. These are fools. These are foolish people. Stupid people. But perhaps the most egregious of them all was an unknown individual at the New York Times named Helene Cooper. I never heard of her. But she works for Pinchy Sulzberger as the New York Times Pentagon correspondent to show you how deeply embedded these communists are. Here she praises Fidel Castro and scolds Americo-centric view of him by Rubio. Listen to 04.
You present a very, and Marco Rubio just did that, a very Americo-centric view of Cuba, which is Castro as the, you know, satanic demon that the United States has, and in many ways he has been. But I think what President Obama's statement reflects is that nobody in the rest of the world sort of agrees with you. The Castro that I grew up knowing as a child growing up in Liberia was a Castro who fought the South African apartheid regime that the United States was propping up. It was a Castro that sent Cuban soldiers into Angola and helped to bring down apartheid South Africa. And so there's a lot of ambivalence when you look at Fidel Castro.
Listen, honey, why don't you go live there if you love it so much? Why don't you go live there in Cuba? Maybe you'd like to live in that slave state, you liar, you. Encouraging torture, killing people, forcing people into exile, not permitting freedom of speech, not permitting idiots like you to even write in a newspaper, persecuting gays, censoring expression, stealing all property for himself, you stupid moron, you. Americocentric. Where do they get these overpaid dunces at the New York Times and at NBC? All their clothes. Whenever you hear sort of, you better run for the hills, the academic statement. When you hear the girly thing, you know, sort of. Whenever you hear sort of, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. All right, I got my Cuba thing out of the... Play some Cuban music now. We just played Cachao. Let's now play either... Not Benny Moray, perhaps. Not Pacheco. Any of the others, like Orquesta Aragon, if you want. Just for a minute. To just put two bookends around that particular segment. But play it already before I plots already. I'm going to get a heart attack. That's it. This I hate. Turn it off. I can't stand this one. My father was right. It was horrible. He wanted to break the stereo when I played that. Hysteria music. Play Guantanamera. Nah, everyone plays that at like Cuban bar mitzvahs. I don't like that one. Perez Prado, forget about it. That's Desi Arnaz. Machito was pretty good. Fajardo was my favorite. How do we have it? Machito? No, he was too big. Too big a sound. I tell you, I never forget once. I'll tell you a story. It's an interesting one, just to change the pace a little bit. This post-Thanksgiving Tuesday, as you listen to Uncle Mike, I was in the Palladium Dance Hall in Manhattan years ago. I don't remember when. It was a snowy day outside, lads, but we trekked in from Queens anyway to see the group because they were there so rarely. And Fajardo was on stage. Now, of course, you're coming out of the snow. You do the boots. You clump off the snow and you shake the coat. You're going with all the drug addicts. Everyone's ripped out of their mind on God knows how many different drugs were in that place. But you weren't allowed to bring them in, only in your head and in your system. But they didn't let you bring them into the club. They would have been closed down. Anyway, you go up that long flight of steps. Your heart's pounding. And the minute you get in that dance hall, the sound just blasts you. The sound is so overwhelming. So the music was great, this and that. Have a few drinks. And then during one of the breaks, I went up and talked to this great musician. One of my heroes, it was Jose Fajardo, a musician, you know, Cuban flautist. And I asked him very shyly, how do you come up with these melodies? How do you play these melodies? Where do they come from? And he looked at me. I don't know if he was telling me the serious truth. And he said, you know the little birdies in the trees? I said, yes. He said, well, you listen to them. That's where I get the melodies from. I don't know. Maybe he's right. You listen to the birds. They do sing to each other. Birds sing. You actually listen to birds. They are singing to each other. I'm not saying you can translate that to music, but I watch seagulls diving for leftover bread on San Francisco Bay, and I'm amazed at the grace of a seagull. A common seagull is not so common. They're one of the most graceful birds on the planet, and what a pair of eyes on them. I throw a bagel into the bay. I don't know where they come from. They got to be a half a mile away, and boom, they come out of nowhere. And the way that they careen and cavort and turn, you know, to beat the other guy to that piece of bread. I'm very often impressed with the fact that the best fighter pilots, I don't know if they do this, but I would think that military fighter pilots must watch birds take off and land in order to learn how to take off and land. Maybe in this age of electronics, it's no longer true. Perhaps it's all done by instrumentation. But when I watch them feathering down with their long wings as they come into land on the water, you know, putting their rear feathers, tail feathers down first and feathering down their wings, it's just like a jet lands. You go on a private jet or any jet, that's how the jets come down. Same thing as the bird. So we can still learn a great deal from our animal brethren here on the planet, which is why Earth is the only heaven and why we must take care of our animal friends, which is why I always have a dog around me. I've had a dog since I'm a little boy. They're the greatest connection to reality I've ever seen. And they don't let you get away with much. They're pure love. They know when you love them. They know when you don't love them. They know when you're not in a good mood. They stay away. They know when you're happy. It's beautiful. But like all flesh, it's the way of all flesh. They get sick as they get older. And then they start to get weak as they get older. And then again, of course, they go where all good little puppies go. And you're left with a broken soul and you don't know what to do. So you get another one. But I'm not getting another one. That's it. Teddy and me is it's a last romance. That's it. No more, Teddy. I'm telling you right here in front of this audience. When you go to heaven, I'm never replacing you. You replaced, he replaced the Sheltie I had before him. Snowy, the Sheltie. I loved her. When I think of that dog, when the kids were young, she was like a little lassie. What a beautiful animal. She jumped over a little wall I built for her. She would run and jump. I could see her in the sun right to the end, last day on the lawn, dying there with the light going out of her eyes. Did you break into tears yet? I'm not going through this again. Never. No more. No more. No more. Not another dog in my life. Never. I'm not getting... I wouldn't even get a pet bird after this. I'm not going to get a fish in a tank. Nothing. I don't even want a mosquito in my house. Nothing living. Nothing living. I don't want it. I don't want this thing. No more. It's enough already with the life and death. Talk about that. Now, let me get into the God book since I'm talking about life and death. Because it's all connected to politics as well. What is it about politics that obsesses us? It's about whether we're going to live with freedom or we're going to continue to be oppressed by a lying, stinking, cheating government, right? Isn't that what it comes down to? When you analyze politics, it's very much along the lines of everything I've been talking about today. Whether it be music, which elevates the spirit, right? Or some bad music just bums you out. Whether it's a reporter who bums you out with their lies and tells you lies and imprisons you with their lies, as we show. Whether it's me going on about foods which give you health or foods that can harm you or bring you down, right? Life and death. Whether it's having a pet. And the pet's healthy and happy and brings you up, or the pet gets sick and starts to get sick, and it brings you down. So it comes back to the politics again. What did we just do? What did we elect Trump for? To give us life. We chose life, we thought. Now maybe we will have it. I do not know. But when I see the same corpses from the Republican Party, very much ensconced in power and very much exerting their power nakedly for everyone to see. In this case, Mitch McConnell, one of the most corrupt individuals I have ever seen in my life, a man who screwed us in 2012 royally, doing it again and laughing about it. I am not very optimistic that this is going to give us the light that we had hoped would be at the end of the tunnel. And on that wonderful note, I'll take a break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
God bless him. Give him a bottle of... Leave me alone. So the Muslim was not the first one. They say he's self-radicalized. I don't believe it. And you know, every time one of these Muslim terrorists are killed, it's not by DHS or the FBI. No, it was by local police. If I give you the list, your hair would stand up because it's been erased from your collective memory. Remember Orlando? 49 people shot in the gay nightclub. Muslim. Remember in June, a man shot and killed four U.S. Marines and a Navy sailor. Chattanooga, Tennessee, erased from your memory. Muslim, killed by police. Many others, and we're getting flooded with them, more of them. And you're not allowed to say a word? What do you mean I'm not allowed to say a word? What, two and two together, you come up with death. Here, this bum who did this was born in Somalia, arrived in the U.S. in 2014 because of the greedy, greedy, greedy pigs at Catholic Charities. And they don't even do vetting for him. And they dump him here in Ohio, and he goes on a rampage. Why is Catholic Charities not being sued by the children who are run over by this maniac? Tell me why. If I were a lawyer, and I'm not, it's an easy case. I'd bring the first case of its kind. Oh, I hope some lawyer in Ohio is listening to this. I hope there's some lawyers in Ohio listening to this. Because normally I hate lawyers like this, but this is a time for you to finally do something good. And you'll make money, the kids who got hurt will make money, and you'll teach Catholic Charities a lesson finally. And maybe they'll do their job. They brought this Somali in without vetting him properly. He radicalized here, did they? You sure he radicalized on his own? You sure it had nothing to do with his mosque and his imam? Did you look into that? When he did this at the flagship public university, running kids over and jumping out with a knife and screaming, Allah Akbar? Huh? That didn't bother you at all? Poor children will be injured with these injuries for the rest of their life because of this guy Artan. Well, he was brought in apparently by Catholic Charities, filled with some of the greediest business types the world has ever seen. It has nothing to do with the religion of Catholicism any more than any of the other
Christian front groups use the Christian connection to bring in all of these crazy people. Catholic Charities, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, World Relief Corporation, Church World Service, Domestic and Foreign Missionary Service of the Episcopal Church of the USA. Who are these people? They're businessmen. Do you know that Catholic Charities is an over $4 billion a year operation with more than 65,000 employees, and half of its funding, $2 billion, comes from the federal government through the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives? You talk about draining the swamp, Mr. Trump. Why don't you start with these front groups for these religions who are flooding America with unvetted immigrants simply to feather their own nest? And that's it for the first 2 hours of the show. This is The Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So here's another one. You ready for the next heart dropper? We learned earlier today that Donald Trump is appointing Mitch McConnell's wife as transportation secretary, a retread of the Bushy administration. That's number one. Number two, Goldman Sachs is in the tower, the ivory tower. Number three, Trump and Bloomberg are now speaking for the first time since the election. Can you believe this one? Donald Trump and Michael Bloomberg spoke on the phone Monday, a source confirmed to the Post. First since Trump was elected president. Now, as you know, during the campaign, Bloomberg supported Hillary Clinton. You know what he is, a turncoat. He attacked Trump at the Democratic National Convention last summer. Turncoat. Swiney turncoat. And he got up there and ripped Trump as a dangerous demagogue. And he got up and he said, I'm a New Yorker, and New Yorkers know a con when we see one. Now the billionaires are talking. Go figure. Can you believe this? So there it is. What can I say to you? All right, let's take some callers because, look, it's an unholy alliance that's emerging here. And you know my feelings. I got you to vote. And now we will wake up. It's the same thing. We're starting again. The same story. WSBA in Pennsylvania. Jim, line 7, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, doctor. I truly believe, I hope that Trump would have taken 3 minutes out of his time to have called you and thanked you for your efforts and thanked your listeners, right? But having seen that did not happen, I cannot feel as though we haven't been sold out again.
Well, hold on. Let's pause right there. I have to answer that question. I've been getting swamped with emails and Facebook people who are asking the same question. Why would Donald Trump call Alex Jones 3 times? I happen to like Alex Jones, but his audience is nowhere near the size that I have. Why would he call other people who are local hosts, and why would his advisors tell him to treat my listeners as though they're still the deplorables? Why is that?
They're afraid of you.
What's there to be afraid of?
You speak truth. You educate people. You reach out and touch people's hearts.
Well, I don't talk about chemtrails, I'll tell you that.
You have the unique ability to educate one moment and reach out and grab somebody by the heart the next.
Well, that's because the reality of the world is the way it is. I mean, I was made this way. I was made to do this. But I went out on a limb for Donald Trump because I feel he's still going to be much better than Hillary Clinton. And I hope to God that he doesn't disappoint us with the really important positions, which would be in areas of national security and finances and immigration. No, those are the real important ones to me. I hope to God he doesn't go soft on us there. What if you woke up tomorrow and found out that he made Bloomberg the secretary of something, and you wouldn't feel too good about that, would you?
No.
Jim, where do you live in Pennsylvania? What city?
outside of York, Pennsylvania.
So you would meet the criteria of being one of the quote deplorables. You're a white man, no doubt. You come from a city that's been denuded of jobs and factories, right?
Correct.
So, what was it about Trump's message, I can pretty much guess, that resonated with you? It was that he was going to return America's pride, he was going to return America's factories, he was going to return America's jobs, he was going to close the border, right? Aren't those the issues?
I had hoped that being a businessman, right, that he would know, he would hire intelligent people around him and demand that they perform admirably for the public or get rid of them. I don't think.
All right. So having said that, we know that Elaine Chao, Mitch McConnell's wife, is intelligent and able. But don't you think it smacks of nepotism
to have
appointed her?
And I think it will allow McConnell millions of dollars to spread around, right, and have evaporated just like the first stimulus package of Obama.
Hmm. Well, she's been appointed now, and Donald's going on a thank you tour, incidentally. Trump's thank you tour brings him through states that want him in the White House. So he's back on the road again. We'll embark on a thank you tour of states that helped sweep him to victory. It was just announced minutes ago. First stop, Sports Arena in Cincinnati on Thursday. He'll be joined at the rally by Vice President Mike Spence, who is scheduled to hold an event in New Orleans on Saturday. George Gijikos, another one, a new player, another one never heard of. Anyway, he's doing a tour for all of these rallies, where he said, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. I think this is a very good idea, don't you? Do you think that the tour going around thanking everyone for voting is a good idea?
Yes.
I guess he's gone. Jim, thanks for calling. Maybe he'll do a tour of the radio shows that help him get elected. I would say that the radio show is larger than any city he's ever gone to. I mean, break it down. Let's say you go to an arena where there's 15,000 people, then another one where there's 8,000, another one where there's 20,000, another one where there's 30,000. That's all well and good. My average quarter hour is on the order of two football stadiums at any time. That means every 15 minutes I've explained to you, this is very important that you understand radio, how powerful it really is. I mean, let's not underestimate the medium. I kid around with it, I joke around, because that's my nature. And then like a laser beam, you know what I mean? I sting like a bee. I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee. So my AQH, the last I checked, was about the size of, I better give you the exact number so I'm not accused of fabricating. I think it's the equivalent of, take the largest football stadium you've ever been in and double it. That's the number of people who listen to this show every 15 minutes and it rotates. In other words, that in radio, you're based on AQH, average quarter hour, right? So that, why is that? Because radio is a medium where people flip in and out, generally. However, shows like mine have a very long TSL, time spent listening. A lot of people listen for 30 minutes, an hour. Some listen for two. Some listen for three. But an average radio listener listens quickly, in and out, in and out, in and out. So they based it on AQH. Mine, if the number is what I just said to you, what it is, and I'll get the exact number when I come back. I don't want to make a mistake. It's on the order of 400,000, 375, something like that. Isn't that larger than a stadium in Cincinnati for his thank you tour? Well, we extend this invitation to Donald Trump on this show right now. We'd like to see you. We need you to come here. We need you to say thank you to the loyal listeners of the Savage Nation. I personally am not looking for anything. I do not want anything. I do not want a job. I will not take a pay cut. I am not a bureaucrat. I cannot get along with large organizations. So I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking for a job. All I'm looking is my listeners to feel that they count and they're not considered cannon fodder to Donald Trump. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Guys in the studio, are you kidding me? No, when you hear this, what do you think? Bell bottoms. I'm not going to repeat it. You heard. They don't respond. I can see that's not responsive. Here's some news from the Savage Nation. 98,799 Somali refugees settled in U.S. since 9/11. Terrific. Isn't that great? What is the welfare What's the number of individuals from Somalia still on welfare? What do they bring to America? Can anyone say that to me? And not all Somalis, you know, are terrorists. Don't get me wrong. In fact, if you go to Israel, it's a whole different story because, well, it's a long, complicated story. Some of the most distinguished military members in Israel are of Somali descent. Did you know that? Well, that's because the Jews were in exile in Somalia. It's a different story because they were all brought in the 1950s in one fell swoop and became Israelis. And they volunteered for the military. It's a whole different story there than here. They didn't do the Allah Akbar number on Israel. 85 languages spoken in Buffalo schools. You hear this? Is it any wonder that when you go into a store, they don't know what you're asking them? 85 languages spoken in Buffalo schools as new Americans enter classrooms. Now, should we celebrate this? No. No, we should not. What we should do is say to them, you must learn English to live in this country. And you must know English in order to vote. English is the official language of the nation. You are welcome to speak your language in your home with your parents and grandparents. But if you come to school, you're going to learn to speak the language of the land. We are not going to teach our children to speak your language. So this is what's going on. Now you know why Johnny can't read, because they're spending so much of their school money on special education and things like this that they can't teach him the basics. I'm a former teacher. I know exactly what I'm talking about. The hope is to better serve this rising population of new Americans. Don't you love the word serve that the welfare state provides? What do you mean serve? I don't want to serve them. I'm not their servant. All right, you got the picture. Vatican, not interested. Hillary Clinton also wanted to jail flag burners. Trump treated Tuesday the burning American flag as an offense that ought to be punished by jail time or a loss of citizenship. He's wrong. I don't agree with him. I don't agree with that at all. I hate flag burners. I think you should release plumbers with lead pipes on them and tell the police to take a couple hours off. But I don't think that it's an act of terror that burning the flag is an offense that ought to be punished by jail time. I think that you just should release plumbers with pipes, lead cinch pipes, into the crowd and tell the police to go to Starbucks for a one-hour coffee break. Not. I didn't say that at all. Come on. But there was a time in New York City, by the way, that the head of the plumbers union unleashed plumbers on hippies who were protesting the Vietnam War. There weren't too many protests after that. They all ran home to Great Neck. They were thankful they were home in their pajamas. In op-ed, Jimmy Carter says the U.S. must recognize Palestine. No, we don't. We don't even recognize Jimmy Carter anymore. Why should we recognize anything he says? When we must recognize Palestine, we do. Palestine is Israel. I mean, you must recognize Palestine. Israel is Palestine, idiot. By definition, Israel is Palestine. You have a bunch of idiots who want to kill Jews. You don't recognize them. How can you recognize people who want to cut your throats? The only reason the Israelis are not being killed in droves anymore is because the Israelis built a wall to keep the murderers and the bombers out. That's all. That's what we need is a wall with Mexico. Common sense? You build a wall and they don't come in. You don't have a wall, they come in and cut your throat. That's all. So what are you, you got to be a genius? There's no solution to that one. There never will be. It's Cain and Abel. There's never going to be a solution to that problem. If you're raising children every day to hate and kill and murder and burn a land down, you're going to legitimize that citizenry? I know the theory that they're suppressed and their idea of nationality is suppressed. They have no option but to kill, maim, rape, burn. That's a lie. That's a total lie. That's a complete and total fiction of the insane liberal establishment. There's the same thing with sympathy for the devil. Same thing with putting the criminal ahead of the cop. I've heard every story you could imagine about this. A criminal is a criminal is a criminal. There's no justification for it. Unless you're starving to death and you have to steal to get a piece of bread, there's no justification for crime. Okay? Hardly any. Someone's going to harm your family, you have the right to defend your family. If it's a crime, too bad. The defense of your family comes first. But by and large, don't give me the excuse that they're oppressed, therefore they go out and rob a department store. I love all of these people that they riot for this and that. And the minute they riot, they break into the sports store and rob a pair of sneakers or a basketball. All in the name of oppression. Come on. What do you buy that garbage for? Are you listening to me? Is anyone listening? Will you raise your hand if you're listening to the show? So I get a feeling sometimes, like at this point in the show, like 27 minutes after the third hour, they're like, they left me. Where are they all? I got half the lights lit, but I could see basically they took a powder, some of them. I'm joking. It's all jammed out, the whole thing. Enrique on WABC in New York, Line 4. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I want to take the opportunity to all the military soldiers out in around the country and also here in America, across the world. I'm a military, was a military soldier one time over 30 years ago. I'm Hispanic. I live in Middletown, and it doesn't surprise me that I changed from different parties. But being a Democrat for so many years and recognizing all the charades.
So what made you go from Democrat to Republican, number one? And number two, are you happy with Trump so far?
I am satisfied, and I'll tell you why. Because he has the mentality, he has the perseverance and the determination. And I hope that his people around, his administration, are able to make a proper judgment and looking at the criteria of those in office.
Right, well, I agree with you, but I'm a little concerned that it looks to me like all the picks so far are being determined not by Donald Trump's team, but by the Republican National Committee under Renzo Priebus. Enrico, thank you for your service to this great nation. We all love America. We all killed ourselves to get Donald Trump over the finish line, and we hope that it doesn't turn out to be in vain. That's all. What else can I say? Listen, I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I'm very critical of the RNC and of the rhinos, not of Mr. Trump. Do you get that yet? But he's got to take control of this horse before it's too late. That's my basic opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-728. Savage.
The world is awash with fake news, fake studies, fake results. I got more heartbreak for you than you're going to be able to handle. Are you ready for who Trump picked as transportation secretary? What did I tell you? What did I just say to you? What did I just say to you on this program? Did I tell you that he did a deal with the RNC and they're running the administration? Did I tell you that? How do I prove it? Listen carefully, because you heard it first in the Savage Nation. Did your heart stop yet? He picked the wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch the Gobbler McConnell of Kentucky to be Transportation Secretary. She is a recycled tire, a tire that blew out under George Bush. He has now selected her to run the Transportation Department again. Do you understand what has happened after we killed ourselves to elect Trump? Do you understand what has just happened? Why do you think I went out on a limb for you 2 weeks ago and published that article that WND wrote, telling you that Renzo Priebus was an example of what's coming, and it indicated to me that they were, in fact, they had hijacked the Trump campaign. Let me be very clear. Savage says, here, make it a headline. Savage says RNC hijacks Trump campaign. Write it down. Who's going to write the article? You know anyone will write the article? Nobody. They make believe I don't exist? I elected Trump. I elected Trump. I'm going to be the harshest reality deal maker on this planet. But let me get back to the real picture here. The real picture is the story of the fake news, the fake studies, and the fake results that are coming out. So the Washington Times runs an article. Hannity and Limbaugh motivated Christian voting bloc, says an unknown institute run by unknown people. And they put them at the top of the list for having elected Trump. And then they go down the list, and I'm at the bottom. And there's people I never heard of who are above me. I never heard of them. I don't even know why they're on the list. Megyn Kelly, they list as one of the most important people to have motivated Christians. I mean, if that doesn't tell you that they're full of you-know-what, what will tell you that? They tell you that Charles Krankenhelmer, who put down Trump steadily, resonated with the Christians and got them to vote? How does that make sense to you? It doesn't. It's all a lie. Fake news. That's the number one story. I'm not asking you to call about it. But then I go into the Ohio attack and the fake news again, where they sweep under the rug the fact that A, he was a Muslim, B, he was an immigrant, and the real hero is a white man who shot him dead within a minute of arriving on the scene. This young guy was only on the campus police force for a year, and he had the wherewithal to shoot this animal dead on the spot before he can kill another student or cut him to death with a knife. That man should be in the White House. not the garbage that Obama had in the White House last week, the garbage he brought in to the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the garbage he brought in there. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. The dregs of Hollywood in the sports industry, again polluting the White House by putting, making the medal have no meaning whatsoever. He should have brought in the cops who have stood up to these bums for the last 8 years. But anyway, all right. He does what he wants to do. He's the Fidel Castro of the United States of America. Let me tell you something. If Obama had another 8 years, this would be Cuba. The country would be Cuba. You'd be fighting over a salami in the butcher store. You'd be playing dominoes in this country. You wouldn't even have a television set in your house unless it ran sports. So hopefully that'll all be over soon. I don't have any questions for you. I mean, there's only one. Everyone knows the whole story about the Thanksgiving deal. But here are some of the other questions I raised for today. I have so many things. Unholy Alliance. Christian charities profit from $1 billion federal program to resettle refugees, 40% of whom are Muslim. What a story this was from Breitbart from November 29, 2015, which we got out again today because I am so angry at Catholic charities. I am so angry at the deceptive Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. I am so disgusted with World Relief Corporation. I am so sickened by Church World Service. I am nauseated by Domestic and Foreign Missionary Service of the Episcopal Church of the USA. I am nauseated by all of these fake front groups which put a religious designation on the front of them when they're nothing but businesses, number one. That's the first thing you got to understand. What do you mean Catholic charities? What, is that a church? It's not a church. They're using the word Catholic to sell a business. And their product is to bring in as many immigrants as they can without vetting them, without caring what they do to communities, without paying the price for murders, mayhem, disease that they're bringing in. Don't tell me that they're called a religious group because they put the name Catholic in front of it. It's like saying a guy with a cross is a good person, or a guy who wears a yarmulke is a holy man. But someone wears a yarmulke and makes them a good Jew? It means nothing. Nothing. We talked about the Muslim from Somalia who drove on the sidewalk and hit students with his car and then tried to stab them to death, shot by a brave officer and killed, sent to hell where he belongs. And we looked into this one in great detail. He was brought in by Obama without any vetting whatsoever. The murder, there were no murders, thank God, but the attacks by this Muslim are owned by Obama. Obama is strictly the owner of these attacks because he didn't do his job. The head of the Department of Homeland Security should be arrested for malfeasance for this case. For the case of Faisal Muhammad, who stabbed four people at the University of California, Merced, last November. The head of Homeland Security should have been arrested and thrown in jail for having permitted Wasil Faruqi for trying to have beheaded a man in Roanoke, Virginia, not too long ago. The head of Homeland Security failed us again by not doing his job and in September letting Dahir Adan, 22, who slashed nine shoppers at the Crossroad Mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota, who was shot dead not by a DHS agent, but by a cop. One after the other, this administration has released these killers upon us. And so we're asking more questions today about the Muslim Somali dropped by the news because it was an inconvenient incident that made liberals very uncomfortable when they have to face the facts that they are responsible for these attacks that are going on a regular basis through their stupidity and through their liberalism, which is a mental disorder. I've encountered it my entire life. I can go way back and tell you how insane most liberals really are. If you did a survey, you'd find most of them are on medication, either legal or illegal. You look in the media and you look at the bigger the liberal, the bigger the medication list for most of them. I can name them, but I wouldn't do it because I'd get sued. But I happen to know for a fact that some of the biggest names in the media are outright drug addicts. And they push their liberalism as a way of overcompensating for their addictions. But do I have to spell it out for you? This is what the election was about, wasn't it? Didn't we vote against them? Didn't we go to the polls to try and get rid of these people? Didn't we go to the polls to say enough is enough about dumping these Muslims on us who are killing and maiming their way across America? I know that these words sound harsh because you've been brainwashed into thinking that anyone who dares stand up to the obvious about what is truly going on is the actual villain. But I am not the villain. I'm actually the savior. I'm the savior. Don't paint me as a villain. The villains are in the White House, the DHS, the FBI, the CIA. All of the services that were put there to protect us are failing us on a regular basis. They're the villains, not me. Trump was elected to stop this. We don't know if he will. We don't know if he even wants to. I'm going to say it again. I said what I said yesterday. I see a very dangerous movement within the Trump administration in these early days, moving him to the center left by the RNC. I saw it 2 weeks ago when he appointed Rinso Priebus. I'm sure Rinso is a nice man. I'm sure he's got a nice wife and nice children. I'm sure he's loved by all. But Rinso is a front man for the Boehner-McConnell wing of the Republican Party, in my distinct opinion. I didn't say my humble opinion because I don't have a humble opinion. I'm a talk show host. We don't have humble opinions. We have distinct opinions. And in my distinct opinion, Rinso Priebus, who is now running the entire Trump administration, is running it right where Boehner and McConnell want it to go. That's what I see, and I don't have to go down the list. Need I say a few words? I'll say a few of them. Let's say Romney together. Where'd Romney suddenly come from? He came from the RNC. That was the deal. Deal was, way back when he was fighting with the RNC, don't you remember in August? The RNC threatened to pull back their support for Donald Trump. They worked out a deal, in my estimation. And the Trump campaign wisely said, we'll do business with you. We'll do a deal. We're businessmen. Remember? I mean, didn't he say he's a deal maker? So he did a deal with them. And well, how hard is it to figure out what the deal was? The deal was we get to select the Secretary of State or this or that, and you get to do that and that. They worked it out. So now we see all of a sudden Romney is there. Nobody wants Romney except them. Again, we're not denigrating Romney as a man. We are denigrating Romney as a politician. There's two different things here. Separate the man from the politician as you would the man from the art. There are many artists out there whose art I love, whose politics I despise. I still go to their movies, not anymore. I will never go to a Robert De Niro movie again. If I ever see Robert De Niro even in passing and clicking through, I go past it now. Never rewatch Raging Bull, never watch The Godfather again. Anything he's in is off. I'm boycotting him. I'll give you the list a little later on of all the other people who came out of the closet during this campaign. They're going to pay for it at the box office if you help me. You're going to help me the way you're helping yourself by booing Colin Paperneck, by not turning on the NFL, by not turning on the team that Paperneck is on. You are sending a message, the only message that they understand, which is dollars and cents. What has to happen for you to understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking to my audience as though you're in the room with me. Let me explain what just happened. Donald Trump just picked Mitch McConnell's wife to be transportation secretary. Now, there's nothing wrong with her as a human being, just because she's been on the board of directors for Bloomberg Philanthropies, run by former New York City Mayor, Mayor Bloomberg. Doesn't mean anything is wrong with it. I mean, what's wrong with the fact that he picked someone who was on the Bloomberg Philanthropies organization, run by former New York City midget Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the soda man, a man who was a frustrated seltzer man, Mayor Bloomberg. He never saw a cup of soda he didn't hate. But Bloomberg is a liberal, a Republican liberal, and she worked for him. Now she's transportation secretary, having last worked for George W. Bush. You say, well, what's wrong with that? You're telling me it doesn't look like nepotism to you that she is the wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch the Gobbler McConnell of Kentucky? So what this goes to is the bigger picture I've been trying to tell you. Look, if you love Republicans and you love the RNC, you're not upset over any of this. I understand that. See, if you are an apparatchik of the Republican Party, if you're one of these goody-two-shoes women, if you're one of these women who like to be invited to these, it's fine, you're probably all nice people. But you are exactly the reason we tried to vote in an outsider. We didn't like business as usual. We didn't like the deal-making. We didn't like the lobbyists running the country. And so many of the people who voted for Trump were not going to vote at all. But because of shows like mine, the one you're listening to, I asked Eddie to go out and vote. You know who Eddie is, don't you? Eddie is the average American white male who has given up on the political process knowing that they all stink. Knowing that they're all liars, that whether they put an R or a D next to their name, they're nothing but common con men. And they were fed up with the political process, and they didn't want to take a chance again. I encouraged the Eddies of America to go out and give it one last chance. I said, we've got to vote for Trump. We've got to stop her at all costs. Now, having said that, we are hoping that it will still be better than if Hillary had won. It will be in some regards. I hope that we have a stronger police presence, a stronger military, lower taxes, a stronger border. I hope so. Fewer regulations. But I don't know where this is going to end up, because once I saw the fix was in with Renzo Priebus, implanted deeply inside the Trump headquarters, in the brain of the Trump machine, I said, I can tell you which way this is going. They're going to make most of the picks. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We got fake news, we got fake studies, we got fake results. Just this morning, I opened up my Old Testament, the Holy Scriptures, which I've had for 30 years now, more actually, but it has hundreds of post-its in it. One day I'll send the picture of it out to Facebook. I just don't want to prostitute my Bible for a little 10 seconds of glory. But I was looking through the first book of Moses, Genesis, where I had put post-its. And I'm recording them for the God book, because I'm going to do what I'm going to do with this book, amongst other things I'm doing in the God book. And I was thinking, all right, this is what I'm doing. This is my payback. Then I get an article from the Washington Times full of fake news, fake study, fake results, saying that Hannity and Limbaugh motivated Christian voting bloc. And then they list people that I never heard of as motivating the Christians to have voted for Trump. Tony Perkins, Charles Krauthammer, who attacked Trump, is listed as one of the people who got Trump elected by these fools. Other media personalities who elected Trump include Megyn Kelly, 5%, Fox News pundit Eric Bolling, 4%, Glenn Beck, 3%, and Mike Savage, 3%. Now, how is that even possible? How could I be at the bottom of the list when I'm at the top of the list? I ask myself. You know, we keep hearing about fake news, fake studies, fake results, and now it's coming from the so-called spiritual community. If the spiritual community is filled with fakers and liars, where do we turn? Who did this study? Who would put people on this list for having elected Trump who attacked Trump? It makes no sense. So I looked up the organization, American Culture and Faith Institute staff. They're probably all nice people, but I don't know who they are. I have no idea why they would put out a false study like this. I have no idea why they would survey 3,000 adults to ascertain which pundit held the most sway among the constituency that they belonged to during the election. And they would list people who attacked Donald Trump as those who elected Donald Trump. This is insanity. So here I am on the radio, and every day I have to get up and do the best job I can to tell you what I see is going on, in my own words. Keep you listening, keep you entertained, keep you entertained, educated, whatever you want to call it. And in the midst of it, you're reading fake news every day on fake websites based on fake studies and fake results. And so you say, well, how can you survive in a sea of deceit? Well, I've survived in a sea of deceit for 20-some-odd years now, so why should I stop today? I have faith in God. And when I walk around during the day, all I can do is, when I get lost, all I do is I say to God, okay, thank you for giving me what I have. I'll do the best I can. That's all I can do. So I'm not here to complain and say that I'm better than the other guys. But the fact is that everybody knows that it was not Limbaugh. It was not Tony Perkins. It was not Megyn Kelly. It was not Eric Bolling who elected Donald Trump. It was Michael Savage.
Savage.